war face.
Sir!
You got a war face? Ah! That's a war face. Now let me see your war face.
Hello, this is the Welcome to Your Carlson Years podcast, episode 11. This is Virata. We got James on the line. How you doing, James?
Hey, what's up?
Doing excellently, like a LaCroix popping off the top.
Woo!
Girl.
Last time we did one of these things, we had Luke Peristi with us, and we went through, I think we were almost through preseason at that point. But it was our first check-in on the eventful off-season, and we really sort of scraped the sides of our psyches on that one, and came away with some gummy substance that we shared with our listeners. And now here we are; we're four games into the season, and I want to know if you still feel the same way that you felt in the last podcast, where I remember there was we were pretty composed, all things considered, but understandably pretty depressed. And are you feeling different? Are you feeling better? Are you feeling worse?
I don't want to come off like a dick, but like I'd say the team's like exactly where I expected it to be.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like a 1-2-1 record feels pretty much perfect. Like, no home wins yet. Like an overtime loss for the season open or a home opener. I guess the biggest surprise is beating Toronto in Toronto on Hockey Night in Canada. That's like not a thing that happens like very often in general. So this year, you know, it's the kind of thing you can only hope for. This looks like the record of a team with Zach Smith as the second line center. You know, you got your spiritual victory and your like blown lead, losing overtime, and a couple of like ass kickings.
Yeah, I think I've been pretty optimistic, if only because I went in thinking there would be nothing to be happy about. Like, I think that the top line stats, like the team stats, tell like a pretty pessimistic story. You know, Ottawa's been pretty badly outshot in most of the games. The game last night against the Flyers was pretty close throughout. Like they had pretty similar shots for, and there was a lot of power plays in that game. It only really got out of hand for them in the third period. But top line, you know, they were getting pretty badly outshot by Chicago. I think Toronto pretty badly outshot them, and Boston just destroyed them. So that's like negative just at a glance. But when you're actually watching the games, and then you just look at the roster and you look at what our defense is, it should be way worse. And like, I think there are some, like Shabbat obviously has looked really good. Lajoie has been like really surprising, not just in that he's like shouldn't be in the lineup, but he's hanging in there. But he's actually looked pretty good. He's jumping into the play. He's playing really aggressively. You know, even Cece, who's terrible and continues to be terrible, has had like some moments there where he's looked okay. And the power plays looked fantastic. Like the power plays looked really, really good.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm coming away from it feeling pretty positive, even though, you know, the top line stats are not great.
So that's what's kind of interesting is that, like, I don't really have a problem with their play, but, like, you know, your Stone Duchesnes have been, like, a little quiet, and meanwhile, like, Zach Smith and Dzingel and even Chris Tierney are doing quite well. Like, it's sort of like, well, you know, if you can get Stone and Duchesne Ryan maybe going, like, I honestly didn't think that the team would have much trouble scoring goals because there's already a couple of good goal scorers on the team. And then I think you brought this up in the last podcast is like, there's a lot of guys that are just sort of like playing for their lives and they're going to have career years. Like they're, you know, I could see like a, I don't know, like a Dzingel kind of like having his best year yet sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It's the defense that's really like, you know, God help us, you know, on this spiritual journey. I think that this Borowiecki CC pairing is like going to be kept together longer than any fan wants it to be.
Yeah, I think we're one injury on the back end away from some like really weird and scary like Belleville call-ups and things getting really out of hand. Like they've kind of been hanging in there, and even games that are where they are getting badly outshot, they're scoring some, dare I say, pesky goals. And every once in a while, you have something ridiculous like that. Those Shabbat goals against Toronto.
Oh my God! The spirituality involved in that.
Which goal. Can I say, like, how badly did we need that? Not just like, the beautiful goal by our best young player, but against Toronto in Toronto. Like, how badly did we, as like a city, need that?
Yeah, I'd like everyone listening right now to pause this podcast and go. Load up that goal, even if you've watched it a million times.
Also,
oh, sorry, sorry. I'm just waiting for them to finish. And we're back.
We have to give credit here also to Craig Medaglia for like his absolute like just. Enlightened Twitter ownership of that moment with the Brady Tkachuk facial expressions.
Yeah.
That was just a world-class tweet.
Craig, if you're listening, I hope you can find the 30,000 emails of Eugene Melnick to NCC and Dropbox them to welcome to your Carlson years. Well, I wanted to do this podcast early before the teams even played five games because, you know, and we'll have other podcasts, of course, but I feel like this is kind of an extra fun. That's right. I'm using fun time where, you know, the takes are exclusively scorching hot about everything, you know, like I watched that Boston game and I was like, I am going to burn Mike Condon's fucking house down. Like, I'm so mad at him. Like, and maybe in 2 weeks from now, I'm like, yeah, he's all right, you know? Like, but he's only played one game. It went terribly. Like, you know, Max Lajoie is over a point a game player right now. Like, he's in third in scoring on the team. And I'll say this. You know, it's been great to watch Brady Tkachuk, and we can talk about him in a minute, but Max Lajoie is the kind of shit I absolutely fucking live for as a fan. I love when, I watch all the stupid fucking draft shows and, like, all that, because, like, I just want to see every single pick because, you know what? You never know. You never know. And like, I thought that Max Lajoie was like playing in college somewhere. Like, I don't even know what he was been up to. I guess he was in the WHL. Just totally off the radar. And he was great in the preseason. And now he's playing in real NHL games. And it's not like, you know, that they've been playing terrible teams or anything. And like, dude's got 5 points in four games. He scored two goals in his last game. I think he had 3 points.
Yeah. Well, last year he played 56 games in the AHL, and then he was sent down to the ECHL. So he actually went. He jumped from the ECHL to the AHL. And he's been sleeping on the floor, and he just like woke up looking completely drunk.
Yeah, we've all been there.
And then, I'm like you. I live for this, like, young player plays himself onto the team out of nowhere. You know, drafted in the fifth round. He's only 20 years old. You know, and I never know if it's one of those things where it's like there's absolutely no videotape on him. So like, you know, do opponents go like, you know, when they're preparing to play the Sens, they've got a whiteboard and they're like, I don't know. And there's this kid LaJoy or something who's on their second pairing. I guess he's probably terrible because the team's going to be bad this year. And then they like go into the game and have no idea like whether he shoots left or right or anything. Like I never have any idea whether it's like people will figure out his tendencies, the video coaches, and then that'll be the end of like Maxime LaJoie, you know, or whether this is just like, hey, one of those things where if a team didn't just self-consciously announce a rebuild to the world and play the cheapest players they have, you just never know what you have until you throw these guys in the mix.
Yeah.
He's looking really good. He's got 5 points in 4 games, 3 goals, which is kind of wild when you think about how few goals Borowiecki's had in his whole career.
Yeah. He also, before we move on, like the thing about a guy like LaJoie too, that's kind of fun is that, like you're saying, there's like no video, there's no like highlight reel. Like I remember looking up Brady Tkachuk like highlights and somebody made like a 9 minute long tribute video. I was like, dude, I'm not watching 9 minutes of like this guy playing like high school hockey and then like, you know, world juniors and like 18 condensed games of Boston College or, you know, like forget it. But you know, there's somebody out there compiling this Brady Tkachuk footage. Like Max LaJoie is just like, he's not even like a Gabriel Gagne where it's sort of like this kid's shot is amazing. And if he can just get his speed up and his like, he can put on 20 pounds, he's going to be a monster. It's like, I've been paying more attention to like Christian Jaros or like when's Andreas Englund going to get it going or whatever. And like, you know, this kid comes out here and is like, yeah, he has more points than Mark Stone right now. Like, that's fucking insane. I love it. It's real fun.
You know, looking at the Ottawa Senators website, whoever is in charge of it, you still got Erik Karlsson as your assist leader on the year. So I might need to update that bad boy.
Wow.
You know, it's fine. We're all just getting back from our European vacation.
Absolutely.
Also, Dylan DeMello.
Yeah.
He's a +5 on a team that allowed 7 goals against Philly and 6 goals against Boston.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a +5 with 3 points.
Yeah, I kind of like that guy's game. He's sort of like a great value pretzels Mark Methot. Like, his game sort of reminds me. Although, like, Mark Methot would put up, you know, a goal and 2 assists in the entire season, so maybe there's a little more upside. I mean, he obviously doesn't play as prominent a role, but I like me some Mark Methot and his, like, sound fundamentals. So, you know, welcome to hell, Dylan DeMello. I'm enjoying watching you play the game of hockey so far.
Well, I got to say, I watched a little bit of, you know, I'm on the West Coast, which means I watch a lot of hockey that people don't give a shit about in Ottawa. And so I watched a bit of a Dallas-Toronto game yesterday. Oof. And I would only feel safe telling you this from across the country. I know that if we were sitting across the table from one another, you'd smack me with an oven mitt or something.
My pina colada would be right in your face right now, just dripping down your face.
You're just sitting there furious in your Sammy Hagar, like, vacation shirt.
Yeah.
So I was watching this Dallas-Toronto game, and Mark Methot looks like garbage. He plays for Dallas, remember? That maybe he just had a bad game, but that was like, he looked terrible. I don't know.
Is Jason Spezza still their fourth line center?
He had a fucking gorgeous pass. Like, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful pass. He's probably still going to finish the year like minus 30 with 27 points. But he had like... It's one of those weird things where you actually take the time to watch like a Dallas game and he, you know, Jason Spezza is getting whatever, 12 minutes of ice time and getting paid $6 million a year or whatever it is. And you wonder why. And then you see him make like a cross ice pass that threads like 4 opposition players and like makes it right on the stick of whatever shitty fourth liner he's playing with.
Yeah.
And then that guy like shoots it into the netting. But
yeah, he's not good, but he's, you know, it reminds me of, like, you know, everybody's got like a shitty uncle who learned how to play one really hard song on the guitar.
I thought you were going to say everyone's got a shitty uncle that almost made it to the NHL and now he's shitty. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And I was about to start talking.
Every once in a while, you'll be like, you argue with someone in your family forever. And you're like, what is this guy's fucking deal? How did he turn out this way? And then he like plays Blackbird on the acoustic guitar when he thinks no one's watching. And you're like, oh, that's a fucking hard song.
Methot, I should try to tune into a Stars game to see what I'm intrigued by what you're saying, because one thing about losing Methot that was always on my mind is like, Methot had some hard miles on him, man. Like, you know, it'd be like, Methot is out with a hip injury again, and you're like, hip is the thing you don't want to have a chronic injury with. Like, you know, I wonder if, like, I don't know how old he is now. He's probably like 30, maybe.
Let's see how old he is.
Which is not old, but like I could see like bruising, fast skating defensemen. Like
Mark Methot is 33.
Huh. Well, yeah. Even so, more so then.
Yeah, not the youngest guy for a shutdown defender.
I don't want to dance around this anymore. Can we talk about my beautiful baby son? Brady Tkachuk for a minute.
Yeah. You're talking to like one of the fastest turnarounds on like garbage pick to like never had any doubt. Yeah, absolutely.
In the words of Abdi Omar, the funniest person on Twitter, you know, Abdi is good when he's like the best person on Sens Twitter, despite retweeting LA Chargers football like 400 times a day, and you're still like, I will never smash the mute button on you. I love you so much. Anyway,
that's two shout outs in two episodes in a row for Abdi. So he's the reigning king of this podcast that nobody listens to.
Hey, live it up. He said, I forgot what I said. Oh yeah, it's like you're all Brady Tkachuk's fans now, but name five of his albums. Like, I'm gonna say something a little out of character. Shout out to my goddamn self putting ice cold lemonade on people's scorchers about Brady Tkachuk being a mistake pick. Like, no one had actually really watched him play hockey when they were delivering these like just brutal like disses of him. Like, I'm just a caveman, okay? Like, I'm frightened and confused by our strange flying machines, but I'd only ever watched Brady Tkachuk in the World Juniors because I have a healthy relationship with hockey, and I watch a tournament of high school students every year. I only ever saw him playing that. He was fucking amazing in that tournament. So I was like, I don't know.
I think Brady Tkachuk is a perfect storm of like stories that don't allow us to be excited about him.
Absolutely. You know,
like, we are like in a moment of like hockey fandom where having a highly regarded kid who happens to be number one, the son of a former NHLer, number two, kind of like a gritty power forward mold. Number three, he's a college player. So like impressive numbers in college are like,
He put 45 points
or something, you know, like when like Mika Zibanejad wasn't a college player, but like the Swedish Elite League and the College League, I feel, are the two hockey leagues that lend themselves the least to getting excited about a prospect. Because it'll always be like, he played 25 games and he scored, 17 points. And you're like, well, I guess, you know, that sounds good. That sounds fine. But it's harder to get excited about that than it is about someone in the OHL putting up like 115 points or in the queue where it's like someone who gets drafted in the sixth round put up like 115 points. And people are like, oh yeah, he's garbage. He's like clearly garbage. And you're like, I don't understand. He had 45 power play goals, but okay, sure. So like, all of these things combined with the fact that also we have so little faith in the Senators to be good at this right now
Yeah.
Like, we're just like, okay, going into it, I was already skeptical about this type of player. I was already afraid that they were going to draft him purely on, like, pedigree and character, and they were going to leave skill on the board. And then the fact that, like, Zadina drops and they don't take him, like, it was just a perfect storm of, like, nobody can get excited about this guy. They're, like, not allowed to, right? Like, we're going to see him just get outskated or whatever. And I swear to God, he could have had 4 or 5 goals against Philly last night. Like, he had so many chances, and he was just always, always in the mix. And I don't know if this is another one of those things where, like, people will get the, like, tape on him. Or what would the tape even say? Like, he's fucking big, and he's going to go straight to the net, and he's got really good hands.
Right. But,
you know, I think last night was, like, permission for us to get excited about Brady Tkachuk.
Yeah, yeah. If you're listening, or Virata, if you've seen this clip that I'm about to reference, call in 1-800-226-6363 if you've seen this. It was a isolated camera in front of Chicago's net. I think the Sens lost that game, but, like, Brady Tkachuk was, like, just going in on whoever was defending for Chicago, and he's, like, fucking falling on the goalie and, like, getting up and cross-checking the defender in the back and just, like, shoving back. And it was, like, 2 minutes long. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this is what this guy's like in the preseason? Like, I know he's trying to get on the team and everything, but, like, can you imagine how hated by other teams this guy's gonna be if, like, the Sens ever make the playoffs again? Like, I'm super into it. Like, yeah, last night, it's like, first of all, look at Brady Tkachuk's face. Like, his face is incredible. Like, all the most annoying players have the worst face you've ever seen. Like, I was at a game many years ago, and it was against the Boston Bruins, and a buddy of mine who I was there with, you know, were watching the game, and Brad Marchand skates down the ice, like, carrying the puck, and he just goes, "Brad Marchand looking like a peanut." I got, like, the most laughs I've ever heard at, like, a sporting event from a heckle. It was like everyone was instantly like, "Brad Marchand does look like a peanut." It's like every annoying player's got to have the annoying guy face. And, like, talk about, yeah, Craig Medalia, the god, like, that, like, ooh, can you believe this smirk? That, like, Brady Tkachuk's like, it had so much mustard on it. It's like, it's just what his face looks like. And it's like, yeah, last night he's got that face. He's scoring 2 goals. He's fighting people. Like, could you imagine in a 7-game playoff series, like, how, like, under the other team's skin that guy's going to be? It's going to be fantastic.
I think the one thing I was looking out for is I always have these terrible memories. Like, I have this trauma as a Sens fan of, like, we get into the playoffs and, you know, some team that has had more veterans on it or had more stars on it or something would beat us pretty badly. And the next game they'd be like, uh-oh, Ottawa's putting Chris Neal on the second line. Like, watch out. They're going to respond big time to, like, losing badly in that last game. And then, like, Chris Neal would go out, and he would be super noticeable for the first 2 minutes of the game. Like,
yeah.
He would throw, like, 7 hits in his first shift.
Yeah.
And, like, Ottawa would have, like, I don't know, like, 12 shots against in that time because, like, one of their players is not interested in playing the puck at all. And I was afraid we were going to get a Tkachuk-like performance, like a Chris Neal-like performance from Tkachuk, where he was going to go out and throw a bunch of hits, and everyone was going to be like, see, that's what I'm talking about. And then he'd finish the game, like, -4 with 0 shots on goal. But he seems to just be, like, driving the net. He doesn't remind me of, like, pesty-type players so much as, I guess, was Jerome Iginla ever considered, like, a pesty type player? He was a power forward, but was he ever, like, does anybody hate Jerome Iginla?
Maybe all the teams that sign him to try to put him over the them over the top later in his career. but no, he's super likable. But like, I mean, Aginla was always like a tough skill guy, you know, mm-hmm. like he would like fight somebody, but also, you know, he'd put up like a lot of points. And that's kind of what I see. Like watching Tkachuk is like a bit of a, they don't really make him like this anymore, but in a good way, like it, like not in a sort of like, it's okay for a defenseman to get 3 points a year as long as they're keeping them honest or whatever. It's like, no, you kind of have to be like both things now in the NHL. Like just watching Tkachuk like track loose pucks in the slot is pretty impressive. And I mean, it was a bit of a lucky goal, but like you see him score like a Bobby Ryan-esque, like skating in top of the circle, like under the arm kind of snipe, where you're like, I think there's a little more to this guy than like, you know, Francis Lessard or whatever.
Yeah. Well, he deserved that goal out by the hash marks because he had two just like incredible chances right in front of the net, where one went off the side of the net and the other one, he like just couldn't quite get a stick on it. But he had done all the work to like get into position, and he had done all the work to be on the receiving end of those passes. And I was like, oh man, that's the kind of thing that, you know, if I were ever in the position to almost score in the NHL, that would haunt me for like the rest of my life. Right.
Yeah.
And the fact that he then took a distance shot and sort of sniped it, it like, I was like, you know, that's kind of a cheap, lucky goal, but you deserve it because you should have got those earlier ones that you really worked for.
Yeah. Super, super excited for him. And, you know, he didn't pick a trash number either. He's number 7, looking popping out there in the crease, cross-checking people in the lower back. Shout out.
So next they're playing L.A. on Saturday with fucking Ilya Kovalchuk, weirdly.
I don't know her.
So what do you think? Any predictions for this game? I don't know anything about Los Angeles, despite living in this state.
I mean, the disrespect of, you know, Dion Phaneuf's glorious return to the friendly confines of the CTC.
I forgot about that. I didn't even remember he was on the team. We talked about Mark Methot on Dallas before we talked
about Los Angeles. I know. I'm like, what's Jason Spezza up to? And like, I don't know. Isn't LA getting into their Chicago Blackhawks years of like faded glory? Like a couple of guys getting older and sort of like got their cups, and now it's like you got to suck for a while and maybe build it up again.
It's weird. So I'm in California and I'm closest to San Jose, and needless to say, people in San Jose are pretty excited about the Sharks right now, but I haven't seen like a single like Los Angeles Kings hat or jersey or anything like that. I definitely don't see any duck stuff anywhere. I don't think anyone gives a shit about the Ducks.
Including me.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, I don't think, if you were to like stop someone on the street and ask like who's a player on the Ducks outside of like, and you can't say Corey Perry, like I don't think they would know. But
they don't know who Jakob Silfverberg is.
he's not like, you know, top two. Sorry, can you hold on a second? I'm just gonna get Louie.
Okay.
He's growling at a cat.
I mean, I guess this would be a good time for me to talk about something that's really important to me. My faith. It's called the Church of Scientology, and I think you should check it out online.
All right.
Hey,
sorry. I put the headphones down for a second just to go get Louis because he was out on the balcony.
I was in Los Angeles, California, which is a great city. Don't at me. Don't email me. Just go there. It fucking rules. It's a city that's fronted on by people who have never even been there. anyway, it was after the Kings won their second Stanley Cup. And I'm talking about like early summer, like it was like a couple of months or okay. something after they had won the cup. And I saw more New York Yankees merchandise for sale walking around the city than I did any LA shit. And that's not to say they're not into their teams. There was like, I don't know if you know this, but Americans enjoy sports, the mm-hmm. professional sports. Mm-hmm. They, you know, Dodgers, Chargers, like whatever, Clippers even, even Golden State Warriors, which is not even LA, you know, and like no, nothing, like not even a hat or anything of the Kings or like, you know, cup champions, like even like some, you know, Dick's Sports type place, like trying to cash in on like, maybe I can convince 20 people in the city to buy these LA Kings t-shirts that yeah. commemorate them. Like after the Red Blacks won the Grey Cup, I was like, maybe I'll get a Red Blacks commemorative shirt of the Grey Cup.
Sure. But, yeah.
You know, like, no, I didn't even see that. So anyway, listen, LA, beautiful city, great food. Fuck you. You don't deserve the cups that you won. That's my game preview.
Oh, we need to talk about how shitty our goaltending has been.
Oh, that's exactly what I was going to bring up. I have that down as Condon Anderson and upset face.
Who else do we like? We can talk about how shitty they've been, but I want to confirm first. Like, who else is even in our system for goaltending? I mean, there's Gustafsson, who got sent down to the ECHL.
I know, buddy. I know. It's rough. But yeah, I mean, Gustafsson is like, I think he's 14 years old, so we're not going to see him for a while.
Uh-huh. Mike McKenna, who's 35. I think he's there just to play the game for the minor league.
Yeah, he's like, I think he's like the kind of guy who's like capable of like doing some like Mike Brodeur, like, sure, I can come up and start 2 to 3 games and then be sent back down as soon as like both goalies aren't injured for 5, you know, like NHL spot duty, but like a career AHL dude mm-hmm. at this point. And Hogberg, I just don't think, I think that guy just needs time, you know, like I think he was playing up and down between the ECHL and the AHL last year. So
yeah, you know. I'm looking at Mike McKenna now. He played one game for the Tampa Bay Lightning, two games for the New Jersey Devils, 4 games for the Columbus Blue Jackets, and 1 for the Arizona Coyotes, and then 2 for Dallas. So yeah, career AHLer for sure at 35 years old. And then you got Hogberg, who I think we talked a bit about in the last podcast, where we're just kind of like, I feel like he's been in our system just forever, even though he's only 23, which is not super old for a goaltender. So yeah, I'm not sure. Like at this point, is it just like if we want to try somebody other than Anderson, is it like, you know, basically we should be claiming Pickard off waivers or something like that? Like, I have no
idea. Like, I hate to break it to you, but like these are the goaltenders that we have. Like, Anderson is 63 years old and has, I think, 2 entire seasons, like making geese money.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to trade him. You know, we talked about it on our last episode where it was, you know, we were discussing how he demanded a trade, allegedly, mm-hmm. where even just entertaining the idea of him demanding a trade is like, hey, boy for sale, 37-year-old goaltender with 2 years and like, I don't know, like probably $10 million owing total, coming off the worst season of his career. Like,
yeah.
And then Mike Condon, like 5 wins last year with term on his deal. And like, you know, they both had terrible years last year. And the, yeah, you know, not a coincidence the entire fucking team was terrible. Shout out to them having the hardest job in the world. Like, no disrespect to actual hard jobs, but like they both have term on their deals. They're not attractive trades to anyone.
Right.
So these are our guys. And like, I thought Anderson looked great in the Chicago game. Mm-hmm. I thought he was awful last night against the Flyers.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Condon was just terrible against Boston. Thing about the Chicago game was I saw the old Anderson and I was happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was also afraid that, you know, we might be in for the Pascal Leclerc special of like Pascal Leclerc brilliant in 60 save, you know, 6-4 loss.
Right. I'm hoping at this point that Anderson is just, I don't expect him to like bounce back to his best years, but just a little bit better than last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like the team is scoring much more than I thought they were going to.
For
sure. Power play is way better than I thought it was going to be, at least in the early going. It looks way better. They're playing much more aggressively. They're a lot more fun to watch, which, you know, I think the trade-off of that is it demands more from your goaltenders. So maybe that's just not the right conditions for him to be better. But if he's just even a little bit better, you know, I think the Sens will be, like, all right. Like, not, you know, good, but not getting killed.
Yeah.
Ottawa is, I'm just trying to look at how many shots a game they've got so far. All right. 38 shots against. That's not very good. It's third worst in the NHL so far.
I mean, four games.
Yeah, four games. But
I think there was a bit of a tone after the last game of like Guy Boucher's reaction. There was a little bit of a like, hey, you guys wanted to see high-flying attacking style. This is the downside of it. Like, you either want my 1-3-1 special sauce or you don't.
And testament to your you know, four game sample size here, you know, worst in the league right now is Tampa Bay, so for shots against. So you know, things will correct over time.
That's why we're doing the hot. This is the hot episode, hot take.
Yeah. In fact, I think Tampa Bay Lightning have played one game so far, so that's their sample size.
How have we gone this far into episode hot take and not talked about Cody Aloysius CeCe yet?
Cody CeCe represents, I'm not saying anything we haven't talked about before, but like, it represents the biggest gap between like what our, like, fans' understanding of the game and like the management's understanding of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, by every single observable metric and the eye test, he looks terrible. And like, Ottawa is not just like, oh, we slightly disagree. They're like, this guy's going to be a Senator for life. You know, we're going to lock this guy down. You know, I feel like at this point, it's almost like a blind spot. You know, when you're watching the game, I don't even like see him anymore. Like, almost as like a self-care principle. Like, my brain has just like put a blurry spot over where he's skating.
No,
what's your CeCe hot take?
There is nothing that makes me more angry in the Pierre Dorion sphere, which is like, the sphere is the shape of his head, his sideburnsless head. You know, people, I don't know if you've been on this website, twitter.com,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, people are constantly very mad at that man, Pierre Dorion. I think he has his strengths and weaknesses. His weaknesses include trades. His strengths, I would say, are scouting. So, you know, I'm like a bit of a good with the bad. I'm definitely on team Dorion seems in over his head and unable to fight off the career-ruining potential that Eugene Aloysius Melnyk brings to the table that he shouldn't be at, like Brian Murray could. I feel like Brian Murray like could sort of like stand in front of the cannon and like absorb the cannonball a little bit better than Dorian can. Mm-hmm. But there is nothing that makes me more mad at him than when he gets in his serious, slightly condescending voice where he says, Cody Ceci is a player that we want to see on this team for a very long time. I'm just like, why? Like what? Why? What? Like, he's terrible at everything, this guy. Like, I kind of get why Guy Boucher, for example, likes Tom Pyatt so much. I kind of get it. Okay. Do I think he overuses him? I do. But, like, I see him play and I'm like, this is exactly the kind of guy a coach likes. Mm-hmm. I see Cody Ceci play and I'm like, I don't see any redeeming qualities in his play. He's not a good defender. He's not very good offensively. Like, you know, there's a certain article that was posted the other day by a blogger that I like, but I don't agree with. That was kind of defending Ceci. And, you know, it was mentioned in it that, like, he expected to play a different role after Erik Karlsson shipped out of town. And it's like, hey, you're still like a right shot defenseman playing 20 minutes a night or whatever. Like, you can still take shots from the point every now and then. Like, mm-hmm. You know, like, I don't understand. I don't know how to fix him.
Well, I think this, you know, really gets at, you know, what I was saying, like, the there's a huge disconnect between how we see Ceci and how the team sees him. And it's just like, it's so disproportionate. You know, like, I think it's pretty common for fans to be like, we want you to play your best prospect right away and give him some real ice time, because we're always excited about the, like, best prospects in the system.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, there'll be a little bit of like a gap, like maybe that prospect will get like 12 minutes and we wish he got like 16 or something. But for the most part, we're on the same page. With Ceci, it's been like, you can log on to any sort of like hockey metric website and find him in the bottom three among defensemen in every single category.
Yeah.
And so they draft him in the first round. They have high hopes for him. Like, he played for the 67s, you know, he's a local guy. They're hoping he's going to be like a Chris Phillips type, who's going to play for the team for the rest of his career. And I can understand how they put him in a position where they gave him lots of minutes right away. And then, you know, I can remember a big part of the justification for trading for Dion Phaneuf was like, well, we're going to match our good young defenseman Ceci with him, and he's going to learn from a vet. And like, maybe like Phaneuf will extend his career by playing with a young player, and the young player will get better by playing with Phaneuf. And it's like, at this point, if you're bringing on tens of millions of dollars of additional salary to get more out of your player, then like, you're really all in on this player.
Oh yeah.
And it's gotten to the point where like Phaneuf is gone with us keeping some of the salary, and like the closest, like the tiniest little ray of hope is that Dorian this year was like, we think he's got another level. Like, we think he's got room to grow. And it was like, at least you're acknowledging that he could be better. Like, even if you're saying, like, he's good and we think he can be even better, and we're saying he sucks, like, at least we're both heading in the right direction that he could be better. And, like, you know, like, it's impossible for him to – it's literally impossible for him to be worse. He's one of the worst defensemen in the league. And they're still playing him like he's leading the team in ice time. He's a -4 with 0 points through four games. I fully expect him to be, again, one of the worst defensemen in the league by the end of the year. You know, at some point, other teams saw something in him that Ottawa saw, because he was always in these trade rumors.
Yeah. You know,
a young defenseman who can play 20 minutes a night, like, that's amazing.
Right-handed.
Yeah, and now it's just like, we'd be lucky to get anything for him.
Oh, I've been saying it since the off season. I am ready to roll the dice with anyone else. Like, we traded Alex Kovalev for a conditional 7th round pick. Like, surely I would take a, like, you know, say what you will about Alex Kovalev, but like, you know, he was like a legit, he was like an all-star. He won a Stanley Cup and stuff. Like, if you can just Mark Mathot was from Ottawa. Like, they sure as fuck didn't, like, protect him at all costs, you know?
He seems like the perfect candidate for one of these, like, all he needs is a change of scenery type trades. You know, like, in the career of a bad NHLer, there's, like, he's bad, but he's young, he'll get better. Mm-hmm. And then there's, he's bad, but he's being misused, he'll get better. And then there's, he's bad, he just needs a change of scenery. That's, yeah, like stage three on your, like, exit out of the league. So for, yeah, at this point, I'm hoping that Ottawa just trades him for another bad defenseman who hopefully just needs a change of scenery.
I think this year is a really interesting year because he's making way too much fucking money for, like, his output.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you've got this interesting element of, like, Shabbat, like, making the Leafs do toilet in their pants on Hockey Night in Canada and on an entry level deal. And you have Max LaJoie of, you know, like, your Windsor Spitfires or whatever, like, just, like, dunking on him points wise is just sort of like, all right, can we just please, like, sign, who's that defenseman? Is it Chris Russell? Like, the shitty defenseman, like, everyone's fighting, yeah, over. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, let's just get that guy. Like, I don't know. Like, fuck this dude. Like, you know, he's real good looking and he's from Ottawa and his dad played for the Rough Riders. But, like, you know, the other side of that is, like, I don't give a fuck about any of that.
Yeah, I guess the only redeeming quality is he's 24. So that I, like, he's, you know, which is weird because we were just talking about, I was saying, like, Marcus Hogberg is 23 and it feels like he's been in the system forever.
Yeah.
If you had asked me who was drafted first, Marcus Hogberg or Cody Ceci, I feel like I would have said, like, Hogberg.
Right.
And it's like, you know, they are not giving games to Hogberg. And it's like Cody Ceci's entering his, like, God, I don't know. It feels like his, like, sixth season or something like that in the NHL. Like, he's an NHL veteran at this point. He's 24.
Oh, by, like, December, he'll have played 400 games. That's the whole, like,
fucking crazy. That's, like, really crazy.
I think sometimes, like, the Jeremy Milks, welcome back, my guy, post that he did on CC was sort of like, he's an unlucky guy, which I'm so about that. Like, I don't feel like there's anything holding him back, you know, compared to other players on the team. Sometimes I do feel a little bit like the greatest trick the devil ever played on the world was, like, having Cody Ceci score a overtime game winner in his first NHL game, yeah, against the St. Louis Blues. Like, I remember watching that game very distinctly thinking, like, I had watched CC for years on the 67s because I have a really healthy relationship with the sport of hockey. And I was just sort of like putting on a pair of Ray-Bans in my house, like, this is going to work out nicely. Like, you know, he basically never went back to the Binghamton Senators again. Like, right. And he's just been like, you're our second pairing defenseman. Well, I think he played with Phillips on the third pairing at first, and it was sort of like slow and steady, and then, like, 2 years later, he's, like, playing 20 minutes a night for some reason.
Do you remember us going to see a 67s game where he was, like, the only good player on the team? And I think they played at the CTC, and they were, I think, like, CC played 35 minutes or something like that, and had, like, he himself had 20 shots on goal, and they lost, like, you know, 6-1 or something like that. That was, like, when the 67s had just started rebuilding.
I've been going to 67s games since I was a kid, and I'm no, like, Harvey Globetrotter at, like, 67s trivia or anything, but, like, I think that was the worst 67s team I'd ever seen.
Yeah,
it was him. I remember that season playing a game, like, trying to, like, count the times he and Sean Monahan were, like, even on the bench. Like, it'd be, like, four times a game. And I remember, too, like, if a shot would go wide and hit the boards behind the net, it'd kind of be like, plunk. Like, it didn't make that, like, firecracker sound that you're used to or whatever, and I was just like, yeah, I feel like I'm watching a bunch of high school students, like, get killed.
Get creamed.
I think I might check out some Belleville Senators games this year. I think I might make a trip down. I feel kind of bad. I like the city of Binghamton, and I used to like to go down there to see the Les Boys. But I'm in negotiations with a friend of the podcast, Luke Peristi, to check out some games, and I will report back my findings to see if Marcus Aloysius Hogberg or whoever is looking good down there.
Well, I think I got to take Louis to the park. He's like looking at me like he's going to lose his mind. Do you want to add any concluding thoughts or anything before we sign off?
Nope. I feel good.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for listening. I'm going to hit off now.